In the late 1970s, naturalist and author Peter Matheson described the Salu Game Reserve in southern Tanzania as, quote, Africa the way it used to be. Today, this World Heritage Site is one of the largest strongholds of wild animals left on Earth, and it remains mostly untouched and undiscovered. Tom Verity visited the Salu and has this story.
The first thing that strikes you as you fly and fly and fly over the Salu is its sheer enormity. At 22,000 square miles, it is by far Africa's largest game reserve. Denmark could easily fit within its borders, so could Belgium, twice. Lying east of the great Rift Valley's frowning, rain-soaked mountains, about 90 miles south of the Tanzanian capital of Dar es Salaam, the Salu offers just about everything you could ask for in an African wilderness. Rolling savanna, grassy plains, and woodlands thick with thorny acacia, comically fat baobab trees, and towering Barassus palms. And, of course, wildlife. Lots of it. Some 36 different species in all, including hippopotamus, impala, wildebeest, cape buffalo, giraffe, warthog, zebra, and lion, not to mention 440 species of birds. A place of extremes, the Salu is also home to some of Tanzania's last black rhino, while on the other hand, it sustains Africa's largest populations of crocodile, wild dog, and elephant. Sooner or later, they all come to drink along the banks of the Ruaha and Rufiji rivers, two pristine waterways that bisect the reserve and empty into the Rufiji Delta, one of East Africa's largest water catchment areas. In short, the place is an ecologist's dream, an uninhabited and largely unexplored ecosystem. One species you won't find in abundance here is Homo sapiens, and with good reason. One that's about the size and color of a peppercorn, but with twice as much bite.
The Salu has never been densely populated in its history because of the tsetse fly. The tsetse fly precludes the possibility of domestic livestock production.
Frank Carey is a guide at the Salu Safari Camp, one of only half a dozen tourist camps operating in the reserve. In addition to the tsetse, which carry bacteria harmful to cattle, goats, and other domestic animals, the Salu's rock-hard, black cotton soil, says Carey, is impossible to cultivate, another natural safeguard against human habitation.
Not that big croc.
But neither bad roads nor pesky flies kept big game hunters in search of crocodile and other trophies out of the Salu during the early years of the last century, including one Frederick Courtney Salu, an English writer, hunter, and naturalist for whom the place is named.
In his books, he started to regret if he'd shot too much of something. Hmm. But one must remember in those days, a type of exploring Englishman. This was, you know, like candy in a store. It seemed inexhaustible.
Established as a hunting reserve in 1922, the Salu still attracts hunters, now under stricter government control. Yet their continued presence, ironically, makes it a safer place for wildlife. Half of each substantial hunting fee, as much as $30,000 for a two-week safari, goes right back into the management and conservation of the reserve. Without this money, says Carey, the Salu might well disappear.
Tanzania, like a lot of African countries, are poor. They've got very small budgets for the administration of national parks and game reserves. There would be very little reason for anyone to want to look after that kind of country. So it becomes a vacuum, which then could be poached out. I mean, it'd be a no-go, no man's land or something, where there'd be no administration at all.
Hunting takes place in the southern part of the reserve, while here in the north, along the hippo-choked banks of the Rufiji, is where you'll find the Salu's handful of safari camps. There are far fewer game drives and tourists here compared to northern Tanzania's more popular destinations like the Serengeti. Access, or rather lack of it, is one reason. Over the last half century, while northern Tanzanian tourism developed as an adjunct to neighboring Kenya's popularity, fueled by the likes of Ernest Hemingway, the Salou remained the provenance of only the most determined. Before the days of regularly scheduled flights, a fairly recent development, by the way, getting to the Salou from Dar es Salaam meant traveling across open country in a four-wheel drive for hours, sometimes days, over roads and bridges that half the time were washed out and impassable. All the more reason to take advantage of the preferred method of viewing wildlife in the Salou, a walking safari in the company of an armed guide.
Walking, you're on the ground, and it puts you in a far richer experience. We can stop, we can pick up dung, we can smell it, we can hear everything. It's a wonderful feeling.
Getting down and dirty with the ecology of the Salou needn't always involve the close scrutiny of animal dung. The extraordinary complexity of the African bush, Carey demonstrated, is just as evident in the simple branch of an acacia tree.
Now, as you see me manipulating it, ants are coming out.
Lots of them, swarming from a cancerous-looking growth on the branch which the tree itself created as a home for the ants. It also generates sweet-tasting sap as food. The insects do pay for their room and board by protecting the tree from leaf-hungry herbivores like giraffes. Just how do some of the world's smallest creatures square off against the tallest?
They can sting. Now, if you've got them on your hand, it's not a problem at all. But if you imagine them on the lining of your mouth, okay, they don't taste nice and they do sting. So you'll see a giraffe eating off a tree like this, and he'll take, maybe up to 5 mouthfuls in different branches, and he'll move on to the next one. And the ants are running around, and he's eaten. But he hasn't eaten the tree to a standstill, so in actual fact, there's been a compromise reached.
In 1981, author Peter Matheson published Sand Rivers, an account of an extended walking safari through the Salou. He concluded that for this unique habitat to survive, it must be self-sustaining. With the income from controlled hunting, not to mention the ingenuity of those ants, this unspoiled mass of African wilderness appears safe, at least for the time being. For Living on Earth, I'm Tom Verde in Tanzania's Salou Game Reserve.
And you're listening to NPR's Living on Earth.